Sometimes I really just like to let the devil know what side I'm on. Might take this the wrong way, but I like to just rub it in his face sometimes. Remember that one that whipped you? Well, that's my dad. So, amen. God bless you, saints. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this afternoon. Each one that could be here. Brother Pena, who you got today, brother?
Yeah, I've got a friend of ours, Patrick.
All right, Patrick, good to have you with us. Enjoy yourself in the house of the Lord. Sure love the Lord, don't you, today?
Amen.
Amen. As I said, Dad already said it, but we sure enjoyed the fellowship yesterday. And, you know, it's a good time in the Lord. It's good to be with brothers and sisters of like precious faith and those that, you know, believe what you believe and looking for the same thing you're looking for. We enjoy things here, but really we're investing in eternity. And that really should be our whole lives, brother, sisters. It's thinking of the world to come, which I think is very soon approaching. And it's my whole heart's desire just to go home. Is that all right? Amen. Well, while we're here to press the battle. We're here to advance the kingdom of God and push back the kingdom of Satan. And I'd like to do that one more time this afternoon. I believe that's why we come to the house of the Lord. It's not to just hear a sermon. It's not just to fill time so we can feel religious. But I believe this is a time when God comes and makes the enemy retreat. Amen. You know, and some people think, well, I can serve God just as good at home with and coming to church. And it's just not true. It just isn't. There's strength in numbers, and if you got God, you got infinite. So make sure you understand that. But the Bible even says that. It says one will chase 1,000, but it says two chase 10,000. Three, you know, four, and we keep going on and on. The point is we ought to come together the more as we see that day approaching. So James chapter 5 this afternoon. James 5, and I'd like to finish the book of James this afternoon, the Lord willing. I'm sure enjoying it, enjoying the Word of God. Sure enjoy Wednesday night. I tried to make comment of that, but that was tremendous time in the Lord. Now let's make sure we don't build an idol till Wednesday night. I believe that God's still God today, the same as He was Wednesday night. That's right. Amen. James chapter 5, verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. And then let's go to 1 Timothy here. 1 Timothy and just 1:15. First Timothy 1:15. Verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I'd like to preach this afternoon, ridding the world of sin. Ridding the world of sin. Let's bow our heads before the Lord. With every head bowed, every eye closed, is there a need you'd like to lift up to Him? Saying, Father, you know what's behind this hand. Hallelujah. Let's pray and invite the presence of the Lord to have His way today. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for gathering the saints together. But Lord, if we just come, it's a meaningless gathering of people. But we open up our hearts and say, Holy Spirit, would You come into this service, Lord? And would You comb through our hearts and our souls and our lives, Lord? And if there's anything that isn't just like You, isn't just the way it ought to be, we give You liberty this afternoon to take Your Word and to mold it into our hearts and push the enemy back out of our lives. Grant to each one that's here, may Your blood, Lord, come and forgive us of all of our sins and wash us pure as white, Lord, that we might be able to hear from the Spirit of God today. May our minds be pure, away from any distractions of the day or what might happen later, the obligations of this life. May that not choke out the Word this afternoon, but may it be pushed aside, Lord, and we give You the liberty due Your name. Come into this service, we pray. Speak to every heart, every desire, every need in this place. You know greater than any of us, Lord. You even know our needs when we don't know our needs. And we come submitting our hearts to You. Say, Lord, You do all things well. And we pray you take the preeminence of this service. Heal every sick person today, Lord. Save every lost. Encourage every discouraged. Fill every empty, Lord. And just move through every heart that's here today. Commit this service to your hands. May you speak through my lips. And may we hear in every heart that's here. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated this afternoon. Thank the Lord. As we've gone through this book of James, as I've said many times as we've done it, this is kind of a Christianity 101. This is how James is establishing the church and where it ought to be, how it ought to think, how it ought to perceive things. And you can go through every single chapter that we've went. And really, brother, sister, if you've been born again of the Spirit of God, these things should be stuff that you learn quickly. These are not revelations that come later on. This isn't the book of Ephesus. This isn't Philippians where he talks about perfection and things like that. This is how you start thinking as a Christian, how you start believing as a Christian, how you perceive the world as a Christian. As James said, we should not be partial in judgment. We should have perfect faith in everything we do. He says anything that's not a faith is sin, and he makes it very cut and dry. And many times we go and we try to advance on that. You can't advance in the kingdom of God and deny what God said before. That's right. And as much as it might look like something later on, as sometimes doubt will come into our lives, we'll say, well, this must be a sin. And if we're not careful, we'll misapply the word in the wrong way, and we will drive ourselves to sin. Amen. We'll think we're being humble, and really we're just disbelieving the word. We'll think we're doing the right thing, and really we're tearing down everything that God has done. You cannot leave the foundation of God's Word. If it's not an absolute to you, if it's still subjective, if you can say, I know the Word says, but I feel this way, and then that's okay with you, you haven't come to the place where you need to yet. I don't even believe you're born again yet, brother, sister, because a born-again person will say, I have struggles, I make mistakes, I do things that's wrong, but God's Word is still right.
Amen.
The mind that can still reason with the Word, it can still say, well, it looks like it's right, but in my situation is different. Brother, sister, you need to make it back to Calvary. You're still at step one. You're not on the right side of the fence yet. Amen. The Word to a born-again Christian becomes the absolute of your lives. It tells you how to look at things. It tells you what to feel about things. It tells you what to think. Because it's not just a textbook. This is God Almighty. And God Almighty is the one that fashioned the world, that fashioned the universe. And the way He did it is the way it is. It's not an opinion. It is truth.
Amen.
There's only one opinion that's always true, and that's God's.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Just think about it. Think that nothing exists outside of Him. There's nothing else. There's no other thought. They're all wrong. They're all falling apart. They're all death. That's right. A lie is not real, brother, sister. It will be done away with. It has no power. It has no eternal life in it. This temporal world is shaking to bits because it's based on sin, brother, sister. And sin is the only problem in the world. Hallelujah. And the second we believe that, the second we'll quit fighting different battles. It ain't personality, that ain't the problem. It ain't politics, that's for sure. It ain't corruption. If you break it all down, it's because of sin. And the only agent of sin that Satan has is mankind. It wasn't until man fell that Satan even had a foot nowhere. He got into a beast and started talking one time, and God allowed that. We understand there in the garden, but all they had to do is shut it down and there'd have been nothing happen. That's right. There was no corruption yet. It was starting to be there, but until the woman invited it in, Satan had no power to do it. Glory to God. And brother, sister, it's the same with the bride of Christ. She is predestinated to not invite the devil in, and she will rid this world of sin. And all these things that we want to fix, and that's the problem with the sinner. He can't get his mind to wrap around that the only thing that's wrong is sin. That's the only reason he's depressed. That's the only reason he's sick. That's the only reason he can't find joy. That's the only reason he doesn't have peace. It's because of sin. And what will man do is he will, in his fallen state, instead of recognizing himself wrong, himself a sinner, he will use sin to try to combat other sin. And it doesn't work. It's just like the doctors anymore, and God forbid, I hope you're not part of this, but they're just writing prescriptions just to make money. And they'll put you on one, and I'm not saying every doctor does, I trust yours don't, but we know what happens. They prescribe one drug, knowing that it'll have a side effect, that they can prescribe the next drug, knowing that will have a side effect, that it will prescribe another drug, and before you know it, they've got you on four or five, and you're sicker than you were when you just had your sickness. Except you're a lot more broke. That's right. Amen. And that's the way Satan does it, brother, sister. I don't care if you left that word the littlest bit. He'll give you something to substitute it with. But then you recognize that's got a side effect. You know, sometimes I just get bored, Brother Andrew, and I just need something. So I went ahead and got cable because at least then I can watch, you know, some religious program for a little bit, and that's okay, okay? And you know what? In itself, it probably wouldn't be that wrong, but then you watch. And all of a sudden, it's a movie. And you're like, well, it ain't that bad. Oh, it just cussed one time. Do you know that where the first cuss word was in the movie industry? It's Gone with the Wind. And it was catastrophic. I'm sure those producers then had a little bit more morals than they have today. That if they would have foresaw, I forgot, there's some movie that came out recently that used the F word so many, it was like every 5 seconds. If they would have known that one cuss word back here in the 60s would have led to that, they probably wouldn't have done it. And brother, sister, God will do the same, or sorry, Satan will do the same to you and I. If you could have enough foresight, I almost called this looking to eternity, but that if you could have enough foresight of where this is going to head, you'd stop it today.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The devil will say, oh, it's just one movie, it's just one thing. Before you know it, you're more sicker than anybody else. You can't seem to find joy. You don't love your wife like you used to because you're believing some lie, Hollywood, that there's real love without struggle. Then every kid will say, me and my parents are terrible. Look at the ones on this movie. They're so great. Yeah, they're made up.
Amen.
There's a reason it's a movie. And he'll do it. Every man is the thing on the movie is just the best wife in the world. And then the other way is the best husband there ever could be. And then they'll run it to where a husband and wife ain't what you want anyways. Look at this awesome adultery you can have. And it's just the greatest joy that there is. It's sin upon sin upon sin, brother, sister. And that is what's destroying everything around us.
Amen.
Has this become an absolute to you, brother, sister? Hallelujah. Our goal in life should be to defeat sin. To rid mankind of sin, because look at it this way. We watch animals die. We watch the planets falling apart. And they say stars blow up and everything else. But all of that is hinged upon one man's decision to sin. Why? When God laid out His program, it was perfect from eternity to eternity. He checked it all out in every single direction. Any thought you ever could have had, He already had it. And He said, this is the way it ought to be. And man entered one thought of his own into it, and it blew the whole thing up. And there's still signs, as we know, scientists, anyone that's, I think it was Einstein, but I might be mistaken. He says, science has a thin layer of atheism. But once you break through that, it's all filled with faith, because there's just no way. There's just no way. As Brother Brandon illustrates, if I took a ball here, you give me any machine in the world, I don't care, and you put it on there, get it to revolve twice in a row at the same accuracy that this earth has been spinning every single day for all of known history. You can't do it. You'll get enough of it. You say, well, that's perfectly straight. No. This is moving so straight, I can tell you where the moon's going to be 20 years from now. I can tell you where the sun's going to be. And if it'd be one thing, it was just the earth. But it's every planet. It's every star. They watch it and they say, how can it have this structure? Because it wasn't just stardust blew up one day and here it is. This was God's intricate hands, and it made a world that He could say it's beautiful. It's glorious. Hallelujah. It's what I made for mankind to live in. Hallelujah. You say you're going off a little bit. I understand that, but the Lord knows. Our goal should be to get man out of sin, brother, sister. Not into religion. Not into a new way of thinking. Not into just a different lifestyle. We don't need a different lifestyle. We need a different life. If we've just changed lifestyles, brother, sister, I'm going to tell you right now, that will run out. If you start making I'm going to make it a habit of prayer. That's good, but if you don't have a life behind that makes you want to do it in the first place, you're going the wrong way, brother, sister. As James says here, he says, if brethren, if any do err from the truth and one convert him, conversion is such a powerful word when you look into it. You literally are getting somebody from one state of existence to a completely different one. It's not turning a page. It's not self-help. We can go get all the psychology we want, all the doctors we want, all the drugs we want. It can never take the heart of a man and change him into something new. But I know a man who came on earth one time and laid his life down and spilled his blood with enough power not just to change his life, but to change any man's life that would surrender himself to you. Brothers, I understand I'm not what I want to be. I fall, I fail, but I praise God for one thing. I'm not what I used to be. I used to desire these things. It's been cut off by the power of God. I don't have to force myself not to drink and not to smoke and not to thirst after God. There's something in me that's pushing that life out, brother, sister. And what ridded sin out of my life was Jesus Christ. And Him alone, brother, sister. There's nowhere else to bring people. You bring them to even a good anointed service, as good as that is. I hope you're hearing me today. We've got to get them to who is anointing the service. Who is the man behind the plan? Who's the man behind the curtain? If you still perceive the gospel as doctrine, as you still perceive it, we even use the term the message, but I can't believe that too many of us think it's just something we could plaster on the wall and say, here are 10 edicts. That's not the message, brother, sister. The message literally is the person, Jesus Christ, showing himself that he's still alive today. The one who ridded sin 2,000 years ago is the one who's going to rid it today. Amen. Now, why do we avoid this? Why do we do everything but rid people of sin? We tell the women, instead of getting right and get born again of the Spirit of God, you ought to wear dresses. And we get them, and you ought to read your Bible. That's good. That's true. You ought to do those things. But you're not ridding sin. Sin is still there. And as long as sin is still there, it doesn't matter what you do, because you're a sinner. You're not converted. And look, even Peter himself was a man that was following Jesus, who believed everything he said, at least up here, who was even given revelation by God the Father that this was the Christ. And even Jesus still had to tell him, when you're converted. You're not converted yet. So even if you sit in this church, and this goes to each person that's here, including myself, you can sit here all day. You could be a minister. You could be a deacon. You could be in the message 50 years. If you've never come to that place where you've died, to where you've actually, whatever you were, it's not even in the picture no more. You've got nothing to brag about. You can stand like Paul and say, I'm the chief of sinners. I have no good qualities in me. Until you've come to that place, you are not converted. You are merely floating along in the multitudes. And look, that sounds like that would be okay. And a lot of Egyptians thought that would be all right. They floated around in Israel. It doesn't specifically record it until you start looking into it. It says they left a mixed multitude out of Israel. Well, where was the mixing from? There were some Egyptians said, you know what? This makes logical sense, because I've watched that neighbor die. I've watched that guy's cattle get burned up with hail. I've watched that son die over there. I'm not sticking around this place no more. I'm gonna go follow this. But see, without getting rid of sin, it'll find you out. That's what Moses told him. Your sin shall surely find you out. And every man, that's the last straw. That if you haven't got the Holy Ghost, that's been the problem. There is something still in your heart that you dodge on every side that you can. Oh my, you'll tell everybody how great you are, everything but that. You'll make sure that no conversation comes up about what you struggle with. You'll make sure to blast everything else that's wrong with this brother, this one. And too many times, it's because you don't even understand their struggle, because you're not the same as them. I just don't understand how they can struggle with it. I do, because it's sin. I know what it's like to struggle with sin. And if you still ain't struggling, it's got you. I'm going to say that again. If you ain't struggling against sin, that sin has already taken over you. And this whole sermon, you've probably been sitting there justifying yourself over and over and over again why you're still an okay fella. If you don't have a humble attitude towards the Word, you ain't nowhere in the kingdom. You're nowhere. You're not even on the radar, brother, sister. You're not backslid. You're just not even in the picture. That was a mighty big statement, but it's the truth anyhow. witnessing, trying to get people not to just a church. That's not too bad. You might have a little struggle, but that'll be all right. Get them to an idea and intellectually debating and things, that's fine. But when you're actually trying to convert people from death unto life, that's where you find hard witnessing in the scriptures. And even in life, we use the quote that the church is a continuation of the book of Acts. Isn't that right? Well, how about we take all the book of Acts? Go with me real quick here today, Acts 18. And if you're any kind of Bible reader, you understand the struggles that Paul actually had with the Corinthians. We coined the term Corinthians the book of correction. So it shows you these were a group of people who missed the mark quite a bit. But praise the Lord, he did find many souls that were saved. And here's how he rests his faith in witnessing here. Let's just read the chapter, or most of it anyways. He said, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, and his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. How do you like that? Here's an apostle on the mission field, and he's still working. Lazy just don't get in the Christian vocabulary, brother, sister. It's just nowhere to be found. That's right. Ooh, my. Rest and lazy is two different things. Hallelujah. If you ain't busy for the kingdom, you're busy for Satan's kingdom. That's right. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. He went to church. Oh my, look at that. And persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one with that worshiped God and who joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in a vision, or in night by a vision, be not afraid. Why is that the first thing Jesus told this apostle? It's because it said many believed. It never said all of them believed. He already had a group, and look who it was. The Jews, the ones that should have been believing the gospel, the ones that knew about it the longest, were the ones who were resisting him the most, brother, sister. The longer you're an intellectual believer, the more Satan can get a hold of you. The more he'll use you against the kingdom, he'll use an intellectual mind with that scripture and wreak havoc more than all the beer joints in the country. Why? Because he'll take just enough truth to drive people away from it. But the spiritual believer knows it's wrong. It's the devil. Look what it produces. It produces chaos. It produces division. And here's Paul. And too many of us think when we witness, everything should go smoothly, and that's when we know we're in the will of the Lord. That's the worst sign. I'm going to show you. There ain't no example of that in this Bible. Every single time successful witnessing was done, there were plenty who didn't believe it. No matter how much God does a miracle, this includes the William Branham's ministry, any recorded miracle, God will only record enough for you to believe it. Amen. He could give you every little detail about it, but he always leaves enough out that you've got to have faith to believe it. Amen. That's right, brother, sister. Look, he raised Lazarus from the dead, from 4 days dead. That's right. How could people still disbelieve that? Why did he publish it? Why did he bring the council out there? Why did he tell Rabbi so-and-so to come down and watch this? Because God don't show off for the devil. Amen. And God knows those that can't believe him, so he only showed it to those that knew would believe. Amen. And there's still people that looked right at that and said, he's of the devil, let's kill him and Lazarus. Kill him, he just raised him from the dead. What good's that going to do? Amen. Hallelujah. Don't be found like, I like how Gamaliel said. He said, if this ain't of God, it'll come to naught anyways. We've done watched this 100 times. He said, but if this is of God, you're going to find yourself fighting against God. And I'm sorry, guys, you ain't going to win. God only lets some people beat him. Isn't that right? He let Jacob beat him one time. That's true. He did. But he don't let the devil do nothing to him. No, we don't, brother, sister. He never has given the victory to Satan. When it looked like he handed him the whole kingdom, he was really taking it all back. Glory to God. When it looks like you totally failed at witnessing, that's probably the time you actually got to someone. I'll get to that in a minute. But even Paul here, look, he had just went and witnessed all these Jews. He shook the dust off. He says, your blood be upon you. I'm done. What's Jesus tell him? Stay in the city. Watch, let me finish. I forgot I didn't read it all. He said, and by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Hallelujah. And he continued there 1 year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. And look at the struggles of this prophet. He stays there. He labored for 1 year and 6 months. He had opposition, but he had, always could rest. The Lord's going to be with me. I don't need to worry a bit about it. And even when he left, guess what? The Corinthians still messed it all up. They still had a man sleeping with his own mother-in-law. They still had people getting drunk at communion. And what would most of us have done? Serpent seed. Wrote them right off. I got a wife here on me. I don't have one that long, that's for sure. Would have wrote them right off, wouldn't we? But Paul could look past that. He was ridding the world of sin. He had got these people to a new birth. It just shows you how far you can get off. But he never questioned that. If you look at later, he said, these are to the saints in Corinth. These are to the sanctified. These are to these that God has redeemed out of the earth. But you done missed the mark. You need to come back. How did he rid them of sin? Was telling them about it.
Right.
We think we ought to dodge the issue all the time. That's why we don't get nowhere. We just sidestep and say, well, it's okay if you ought to be in church, but it's okay. Well, there you go.
Right.
Satan get a hold of that, and before you know it, you'll never be there.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? Yes, he will. Satan don't play by no rules. That's what we got to get our hands on as well. He will cheat. He will. He will steal. He does not care. He's got one motive, and that's to destroy you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And you know what? His whole kingdom is built upon sin, which he knows is why it's being destroyed.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. He knows the only way to destroy you is to get you to sin. And that's what his whole kingdom is about. It shows you it's a bottomless pit. There is no foundation to any of this. The same thing that's building it is destroying it. Hallelujah. And the devil do the same thing to every one of us, brother, sister. But God don't run his program that way. Everything God invested in his kingdom has eternal properties. It has eternal power. It never diminishes. It never has to change. It will always remain the way he set it. Hallelujah. He was there for 1 year and 6 months and converted many, but not all. Go over one more chapter, Acts 19. And many times we'll read where he baptized. We understand that. And that he went up the upper ways of Ephesus. And when Apollos went to Corinth and things. And I'll get to that here in a minute too. But if you skip down, you get into witness there in Ephesus as well in verse 8. And he went to the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months. How do you like that? Most people think, well, I spoke one time. Yeah. I don't know if you're evangelizing too much, but he was there for 3 months, brother, sister. 3 months. Think about that. And what does it say he was doing? He said, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Well, if I was really led of the Lord, I went in there and I preached the word. Why did I get all this opposition? What? It's because you got to fight to convert people. You can have a good anointed time. They ain't converted yet. You got to fight for that. That's right. You can't. And if you give up the first little win back, there ain't nothing. You need a backbone. That's right. That's why James is saying this here, and I'll come to that in a minute. He says, when you've converted a man from his earth, you save a soul from death, and you hide a multitude of sins. Why? I'm showing you there's a little incentive with staying with the program. There's a little bit more on the line than just your feelings. This is a man's soul on the line. And if you, why do you say a multitude of sins? If you don't save that soul from death, every one of those sins are still recorded against that man. Hallelujah! It requires divine love to be able to put yourself through agony, through debate, through struggle, through fight. Look, Paul himself was a man who resisted the gospel.
Sure.
And without him, we wouldn't be sitting here today. Why? It took a man like Ananias who would listen to the Spirit of the Lord that said, go down there and find my prophet and tell him what great things he's going to suffer for my name. Ananias said, are you sure, Lord? Are you sure that's the one? I've heard about this man. He's killed Christians. He put him in prison. He said, that's my prophet.
Uh-huh.
Go get him. And he obeyed the word of the Lord. Look, brother, says, I don't care how little it is. You are an intricate part of the plan of God. And God needs you and I. If God has revealed it to you, he needs you and I to do our part in the kingdom.
Amen.
And no one else can do it.
Right.
Let me read that. Let me keep reading there. But when I'm going to read 8 again. And he went to the synagogue and he spake boldly for the space of 3 months disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years.
Amen.
How would you like 2 years of your ministry summed up in one sentence? Can I say that again? How would you like struggling with unbelievers for 2 years just said like a passing thought? 2 years, 3 months, a year and 6 months. And that's all we have. Brother, sister, the day-to-day is where the overcoming actually happens. That's right. We're always looking for a one-shot wonder. That ain't the way it works, brother, sister. It's a daily struggle. When you look at anybody that's converted out of your family, it ain't going to just be like that one day you all of a sudden witness to them and they get it. That ain't the way it works, because Jesus said he wouldn't do it that way. He said, I didn't come to send peace. I sent a sword. I'm going to send father against son and son against father and brother-in-law against son-in-law. You understand? He said that. We can't bypass that. Now, why did he do that? It's because that's the only way to rid sin out of the world, brother, sister. It's to struggle against it until it succumbs to the Word. And if you'll stay with the Word, sin always succumbs to the Word of God. It's never defeated God's Word one time. Quit giving God or the devil praise for his sin. Why don't you give God praise for the Word that always whips him?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks, and God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. I would love to hear that word, special miracles. I just want normal miracles, I guess. But to be able to say special miracles shows that there was already miracles happening all the time, brother, sister. And many souls were converted, but there was always many opposition. Brother, sister, we're living in such a day that every devil is opposing this truth that we are trying to stand for. And if you falter under the pressure, and allow us to become just like the world is, allow our services to be influenced that we ought to. Yeah, that's a nice program. Don't you ever use the word program for something that we do in the house of God.
Amen.
I will never, by the help of the Lord. And it's happened in the message. They've got seminaries in the message. Look, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's you trying to fit in to maybe sneak some people in the kingdom. That ain't the way it works. He said, speak boldly my word.
Amen.
You know what that does a lot of times? It makes people mad. But you'll find out that one guy who's fighting you the worst is the seed's just buried really deep. But it's in there. When he fights you, you know what you ought to say? Wow, this guy actually cares. These people that are shallow and just, well, you know, yeah, that kind of makes sense. And come church for a while, hallelujah. That's where you get your Judases.
Yeah.
That's right. Stick around just long enough to say, wait a minute, I can make money off this? All right. That's what happened, brother, sister. Lord Branham said he never believed it. He was always, see, this is the point with having just kind of a loose grip of believing what you say you do. Satan's got you. You're his number one agent. Say, Lord, I don't want nothing to do with none of that. I want to be God's number one agent. I want to be the one like the man, I believe is in the book of Judges, that had the sword in his hand and he fought so hard and so long, he couldn't get the sword out of his hand anymore. I want my hand on that word so tight that it don't matter what any minister says, what any church says, what any website says, when any person brings together any sort of string of doctrines, there's something on my hand so tight that everyone recognizes if there's a Christian anywhere, it's that man, because the sick are healed in his life. The dead are raised in his life. Those that are faltering on every side, that man stands true.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't make an idol out of it. Say, Lord, that same life that produced the Paul, that produced the Peter, I believe is in me today. And it's rid the world, rid the sin of this world out.
Amen.
I'm not a sinner. I'm a Christian.
Amen.
I am an overcomer. And though I'm struggling, I'm fighting, let me just stay the course, Lord, with all that's in me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm just going to stop there as far as in the Bible right there. Listen to this. In the rising of the sun, you've probably heard this quote before. 1965 says, now the very essence of the message that was sent, that he has risen from the dead, we his benefactors, we who share the resurrection with him, draw benefits from this by proving to the world that he is alive. He cannot do it by word only. He cannot do it by some tradition of men. We only reflect exactly what we're pointing to. Reflect what we're pointing to. I'm afraid today that too many of us are not getting people to Christ. or getting them to a church, to a theory, but we must get them to Christ. He is the only one and the only one that has life. He that has the Son has life. That's in 1 John there in the Bible. Whatever God has revealed to you Christians, and if you're not getting revelation, then you're not living in the Spirit of God, because those that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. It opens doors. It shows you what to do. It shows you what to say. And the second you get that revelation, you need to act on it now.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how little it looks. It doesn't matter how insignificant it might be. Here is Paul, as we just said, who struggled with these Corinthians for years, who struggled with these Ephesians for years and years. But brother, sister, these are the people he wrote these scriptures to that we're still reading today.
Amen.
We just read there how Apollos was there as well, and both of these men had struggled over these group of people for years and years and years. And to what effect? Did they go around boasting about it? They said, no, we've done our part. God came on the scene and gave the increase. He said, I have planted. Well, Lord, I want to get the harvest. That ain't your job. Plant. And any farmer tell you, planting is the hardest part of the year, because you got to go out there with just potential. You don't get no evidence. Ain't none of this going to work. Is it going to rain tomorrow? Don't know. Is it going to ever be enough? Is it going to flood it all out? I don't know. But I'm doing this by faith. That when I put these seeds in this ground and I cover them up, they're going to come up and give me a crop.
Amen.
You won't find hardly a soul that'll do that part of the mission work.
Amen.
Oh, God have mercy on us. After it grows a little bit, then you get some more enthusiasts. You say, hey, this is what we're investing into. I'll come and water it. And that's what Paul says. He says, I planted, Apollos watered. But without God, it would have been meaningless. But God gave the increase.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It looked like they were... Look, do you see how ridiculous this seems in hindsight? Had you been living there, of course, we're like, well, yeah, duh, we need the Word. We needed people to be saved. Of course you need to do all this. You imagine struggling for a year and a half with a bunch of people who end up, like I said, turn around and don't do half what you told them anyways. Don't you think it would feel like, man, Lord, I've done wasted all my time. I've done wasted all my time. Some parents feel that way about kids that are aware, man, come on. I just had all that with them. They've been through this trial, that one. I've stood here on the Word. I've given it to them. I mean, come on, Lord, what's going on? Don't tell me you're wasting your time. You're not wasting your time. And there's so many of you who have done this, and I'm one of them, brother, sister. I thank God for a man who stood on the Word even when I didn't know what I was believing. But you always preach it. Don't falter. That's why they won't believe you. Stay on it, brother, sister. Stay. I don't care how little it is. When you get a revelation of the Lord to speak His Word, do it right then. Don't let the devil come around and say, oh, you're going to look like a fanatic. You're already a fanatic. Get over it. That's right. Here's Paul going to the city where he knows there ain't nobody that's... Actually, if you read Ephesus later on, after he got done witnessing, do you know what they said? Wait, you're a Jew? We ain't believing none of this. You crazy. We know what you Jews do. You steal our money. You know what they began to do? The Bible says for the space of 2 hours, they began to shout, great is Diana. God of the Ephesians, the goddess of the Ephesians. We had all said, man, Paul, you done? Look at that. You caused a riot. Right in the will of God.
Yeah.
Out of that chaos came believers, brother, sister.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we could trace our spiritual lineage back to there as well. Hallelujah.
Sure.
Hallelujah. Let me read this now. It's from A Door in the Door in 1963. And you might know this. From where it gets to, but just listen to me now. He says, but then this poor old woman passing out these tracts, and no one would, and everybody would throw them on the street. And she was standing crying because they rejected her, while she had tried so hard to bring a minister to the city to have a revival. And the minister was to appear that night, and she was going away, and there was a little old boy with his daddy. And down in the south, what we call the galluses, you know, suspenders on, ragged hair hanging down his neck, walked up and said, hey, lady, what are you giving away? She said, it's a tract, honey. She said, well, he said, I can't read. Said, what does it say? And she said, well, we're going to have a meeting down in the old livery stable tonight. He said, thank you. Can I have one? He said, and yes. And he put it in his pocket. When the meeting took place that night, you know who was there? Your loyal old pastor and the lady. That's all that was at the meeting. The gallant old soldier, whether there was one or a thousand, he took his text, stood there and preached to the lady, just as low as he would have if he was preaching to 10,000, who staggered in the door along about the beginning of the sermon, but this little old ragged-haired boy. That night he found himself at the altar. If I'm not mistaken, that was little Dwight Moody. That sent a half souls to Christ, see? Oh my. And most of us, again, we just said, oh, see, you didn't get the right inspiration. You know, this, the Lord didn't vindicate this. Oh, really? Really? See, you're measuring it by man's standards, not by God's standards. Because according to Jesus' own words, one soul is worth 10,000 worlds, brother, sister. When God gives you a revelation, don't you turn it down. Don't you say you're fanatic. Look, she even got emotional. She said, no, everybody's rejecting me. You can imagine, handing out tracts. And if you read the story, she put a lot of investment into this. A lot more than a lot of us will. I'm going to just say it. She put a lot more time in it, a lot more prayer, a lot more money, a lot more effort that she could have spent on other things. But she put it, that's why she had a revelation from God. And that revelation was her absolute. She began to struggle and say, Lord, why are they all turning me down? And God didn't come on the scene and say, oh, wait, I'm going to save an evangelist that's going to send souls to Christ. No, that's the struggle of faith, is do what God said, regardless of what you feel like.
Amen.
And she did it. She was faithful. And what happened? God brought a little minister, says, that's where I'm going to save him. Why? To encourage every widow woman, every man of God, every woman of God, do what God tells you. You don't understand the investment it's going to be, but do what I tell you, because it's got eternal consequences.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You say, I just made one comment to this boy. That could have been a servant of the Lord. He's going to send a million souls to the kingdom.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You say, it's just one comment. If it's one comment from God, it's stronger than any word, any comment that comes from space. That's right. It'll push mountains out of the way. Hallelujah. It's time, brother, sister. We need to learn to live in the moment, but recognize we're investing in eternity. That every action we do, and like I've said this before, and I'm just going to just diverge, I'll come right back. Anytime you see any kind of movie or story that involves time travel, or they try to go, and what happens? Nothing makes sense anymore. Because you begin to think, well, if they go there, they change this, and then that would have changed this, that would have changed this, that would have changed this, and then nothing would have been the same.
Exactly right.
God, it's the same in God's program, brother, sister.
Yeah.
You can't change one thing about it. Because if you change one thing, just imagine had Paul died a little bit earlier and not got one of his converts. Well, then that convert wouldn't have talked to this one and that wouldn't talk to this. What if Brother Branham would have actually took that gun and blew his head off?
Yeah.
I'm sorry for being hungry, but he tried it.
Yeah.
He pulled it, nothing. Pulled it, nothing. Pulled it, nothing. Threw it on the ground, blew right through the wall. I said, God, why are you torturing me? Oh, my. You know why? Because I'm standing here today saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, because the man came and stayed on the Word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Why didn't I die after falling off a 30-foot bridge, brother, sister? And don't you say it's for me exalting myself. God had a gift in my life to feed His children.
Amen.
And you're one of His, ain't you? You're one of mine. You're one of His. And He wants you to have the real Word, brother, sister. I wish I could invest in any minister, but too many of them won't stay on the Word. But Lord, I'm going to be one that stays on this Word, because the real children of God need the real Word of God. I see the eternal investment. I see them on the other side walking the streets of glory, saying it's all over, while all these carnal people went off the cliff and died. Hallelujah! Lay not your treasures, I'm reading from the Bible, Matthew 6:19. Lay up not your treasures upon earth, where moths and rust dust corrupt, and where the thieves break in through and steal. But lay up your treasures in heaven. For where moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if you're living for this world, I don't care what you tell me, your heart will be in it, and everyone will know. But once you put your treasures in that world, your heart will be in it, brother, sister. And what it'll do, it'll make you sweet to the guy who wants to rip your guts out. Why, you've got enough foresight to look to eternity and say, look at this multitude of the sin. The worse the sinner, the more you ought to be more desperate to help him. God's he's an honorable judge, brother, sister. Don't ask me how things are going to get weighed out, but we understand there is more sin and less sin and more consequences. You reap what you sow.
Right.
That's right. But here's the glorious thing. The grace of God can literally take the most ranked, most blacklisted man, woman, and bring them all the way back to not just clean, but God's holiness.
Amen.
To the point where angels say, I can't even look at that. Look how holy it is. You saying, are you kidding me? Those angels are our servants.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Why would I preach anything but the power of the blood of Jesus Christ? Because that's the only thing that can take what vile sinner I am and make me command an angel. Are you crazy? No, it doesn't make sense here. It makes sense because God said it that way. That blood has such a power, it makes you the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Why do you care about what you've got to sacrifice? Look what you have to offer.
Amen.
You are his agent of eternal life.
That's right.
And we know Brother Branham, he said, I'm giving away, what is it, come on now, assurance, that's the word I'm looking for. He said, Brother Branham, you got insurance? He's like, yeah, I got assurance. And he said it kind of fast, and his wife, you know, as we said, looked at him like, you little storyteller, you liar. And he said, no, I got insurance. He said, what kind of insurance? The man said, what kind of insurance do you have? He said, eternal life. He said, I've never heard of that company. Oh, I'll come talk a policy with you if you like to. He said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. He said, Billy, that's awful nice, but that won't put you in a grave up here. He said, but it'll get me out. I'm not worried about getting in. I'm worried about getting out. Why? His treasures weren't in this life, brother, sister. His treasures was in the life to come. Brother, I'm going to say it like this. If you don't have insurance just because the government's making it, you might be putting too much investment in this life. Because you just, it don't matter at the end of the day, brother, sister. Hallelujah. And time, it's just the way it goes. You finally, it's like, well, I'm going to put insurance on it. What happens? You pay for 20 years and the insurance company don't even do nothing for you. But I'm going to say it like this. If you put 5 minutes of sincere prayer in the real power of God, He returns on the investment 10,000 times. Even Peter, I love Peter. He said, Lord, we've given up everything. Man, look how much we've sacrificed. Look how good of Christians we are. What are we going to get out of this? And Jesus said, well, actually, you're going to get eternal life. And if that wasn't good enough, you'll get 100-fold of women, houses, or family, friends, and this life. Hallelujah! Don't tell me our way is the better way. God's way is the better way. Hallelujah. Oh, let me go. I'm just going to... Yeah, let me just go this way. Jehovah Jireh 3:64. Listen now. And you personal workers from different churches that knows how to pray with people, lay hands upon them. Come now. And this is after he had an altar call and sent them to the room. See, these are they are placed into your hands. They're trophies of the word. Just let that sink in for a little bit. When you actually bring these out of darkness, they're trophies to the Lord. We get a trophy for all kinds of things. You know, employee of the month and all this, and we think how great we are. Here's a trophy you are giving to Almighty God. See, that's real foresight. That's real. Yeah, I want that judgment to be I don't care about now. What does that matter? Yeah, give me employee of the month. What do I care? Next month you'll probably fire me. But over there, it's an eternal reward. Amen. All right, keep listening. Won't you now come at this time, you personal workers, and make your way back before we change the meeting here just for a moment or a minute. Come now, move right in. That's fine. Go right back into the rooms. Lots of rooms back there now. Go back and do everything that you can to help these dear people. Dear Jesus has brought them. He caught them in the gospel net. Now you take them back there and let's pray for them. God will fill one of them with the Holy Spirit. Close the door. Stay right there until it happens. He promised it would do it. And He promised it, and He'll keep His promise. He's just as true to His promise as to appear here before us. Bless Him. Ministers, are you here? Listen to this. Preachers, laymen, that's interested in watching or getting people to receive the Holy Spirit, your post of duty now, go with them. Stand by your people. You well-trained man experienced with the Holy Spirit, and you well-trained women that knows what it means. You get with them sisters back there where they are. You know, you that knows what to do, stay with them back there Right now is the time for you. This is where your post of duty. This is your color. Now go to. God bless you. That's right. Just take your place and go right in there with Him. And stay there and be sure that it's done and done right. Stay there until you see the sweetness in Christ in each one of them. God will honor you for it. Amen and amen. What is my point of reading all that? Is I don't care if you are just a layman. I ain't even saying that. It's not just a layman. We can't find layman. We can't find people that's concerned with making sure people pray through. We can't find people that first get the Holy Ghost to know how to get anybody else to it. We don't need more preachers. We need more believers. We need more laborers in God's field. We need more people who's not concerned with exalting themselves or even their church or even their idea, but has one goal: ridding the world of sin. Sin is not out there in the mat. Where is sin? It's in the heart of man. He's the one that's Satan's agent. You show me where Satan caused damage besides through mankind. Say, well, he tempted this way, he tempts that way. That's fine, but until it gets done, it's man that has to do it. God created the whole universe, and show me where He did His word anywhere else but through a man. Man is the battleground that God has chosen, brother, sister, and it doesn't matter where you are an integral part of the kingdom of God. Do not lose the vision now, brother, sister. You say, it's been too late, it's been too long. It's never too late. You're still here today. I don't care how long you failed it. You need to be more sincere about what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
We get to the end of the service. I'm just going to say it like this. I pray for people. I understand that we have an order and we ought to have those things. But if you feel compelled by the Spirit to pray with someone, you need to be doing it.
Amen.
Not in some big show-off, but because you've done in your heart, you know you've been revealed that you're supposed to help this person get through. Yep. Hallelujah. How many times we just sat there and thought, well, you know, somebody else do it. Nobody moves. Why? God told you to. Yep. Then it don't happen. You know what happens usually? And I ain't saying this because I'm a pastor, but that's just the way it goes. They blame the minister. Yep. They blame the message. They blame the church. They blame, well, if he just would have done this. No, if you just would have done what you were supposed to do, we had already been there.
Yep.
It took one David to start a revival, brother, sister. You show me where he was in any office of God at the time. He had nothing but a promise of God from years ago that nobody even, or not maybe years ago, but nobody knew about it besides him and the prophet.
That's right.
He was faithful to the call of God. You say, well, I'm just a prayer. No, you're not. We need prayer warriors.
Amen.
We got plenty of people who study. How many get down on their knees and pray? What did you come to service to do today? Have you lost the vision, brother, sister? Have we got to the place where we don't have a direction of what we're supposed to be doing in our lives? Or are we just more concerned with this hypothetical bride over here in the clouds somewhere that's going to bring the coming of the Lord? That ain't the way it works. You're either part of it or you ain't nothing to do with it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Bram says, I'm going to close on this thought. I think you understand me. Out of the adoption, part 4, and just this one line. He says, and I'm an old man. Great whiskers hanging around my neck here. He was going to say, you know, how many he had sent to the kingdom, but he stops himself and says this, I want to send 2 or 3 more million souls to Christ if I possibly can. It's my determination to preach the gospel to every corner of the earth. Yes, sir. So help me God. I'll do it. Here's a man, as we understand, who's been preaching 20, 30 years, and he had. He's seen millions come to the kingdom. He had seen millions of miracles, and still, the whole time, he never lost a vision that until the work is done, I need to be busy doing it.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. Look, you can't live. The gospel's not a rearview mirror. We press forward towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. If you're still worried about something that happened 10 years ago, that's why you're not going nowhere, brother, sister. It should be today. And this includes this service right now. What am I supposed to do for the kingdom? If there's a sickness in this room, then you're supposed to be there's supposed to be a faith here that it doesn't stay in the service, brother, sister. If there's a backslidden soul, there ought to be a power here to bring that soul back to the kingdom. If there's someone lost, they ought to have the opportunity of the doors of heaven opened to them and say, today, don't harden your hearts, but open it to me, and you can receive the Holy Ghost, brother, sister. That's why we came to service. That's how we rid the world of sin. Don't fight on politics. Don't fight in theology. Fight by the gospel of the kingdom of God.
Sure. Amen.
of bringing souls to a real revelation, of being born again of the Spirit of God, of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If that becomes a curse word to our message, we've lost it all. I need to say that again. If you're afraid of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I have a feeling you might not have it. Because it's your lifeline.
Amen.
You don't do anything right without the presence of God. Amen. You don't do anything right without the Spirit taking this word and applying it to reality the way it's supposed to be, brother, sister. He's the one that wrote it. He's the one that knows how to use it. And He's the one who's in your heart. If you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you haven't, you're on the side of death. And I ask you to come and receive it today. Let's stand together before the Lord. Hallelujah. To be like Jesus. Psalm 67, if you don't know.
Thank you.
provocation. Or they tempted him and tried him. So all those souls are dead.
I understand today is not really been a shouting, screaming, on the aisles kind of message.
But I believe the Lord's come to show us where our faults are, brother, sister. Christians, is there any Christians say, Lord, I want my focus to be back where it needs to be. And that's, I have one mission, to rid this world of sin. And I'm going to start with me, Lord. Forgive me my unbelief. Forgive me for my life, living in things of the world, or anything contrary to your word. God bless you, saints. Now, Lord, I commit my soul to you for service. You're a soldier in the kingdom. You're not here to just rid sin out of your life. God is invested in you that you might spread that influence to others. Don't wait in your balance. Wait in God's balance. It might not look successful, but if it was the word, it's successful. If you didn't compromise, it's successful. If you did what the Spirit told you, it's successful. Don't backtrack. That's what you lose a reward. Just stay with it. Many souls here, I just want to encourage your faith now. Would you raise up those loved ones and say, Lord, I've stayed in the gap. I've prayed for them. I've tried to be a witness. And you might be getting discouraged and say, Lord, I feel like I've failed it. I feel like I've wasted my time. Don't you do that now. Get all those thoughts out of your head and say, Lord, I believe it with all my heart that you can take those things I've planted. You can take those things that were sown and that you watered, Lord, and you can come on the scene and bring the increase needed. They wouldn't just get a different thought, but they'd be on the altar. They'd receive the Spirit of God. They'd come back to the truth. I could watch them be baptized in your name, not out in some denomination, but I want them hearing the truth. Not just this four-walled building. That ain't enough, brother, sister. I'm talking born again. I want to see them in the kingdom, that no matter where they are, if they're the only one, don't be a Daniel wherever they are. God bless you, saints. Can you put that soul there on the altar and say, Lord, I believe it. No doubting, no fretting about it. Say, Lord, I believe it. I'm claiming it right here. Hallelujah. That in this part of the world, that part of earth, that's my daughter, that's my son, that's my cousin, that's my granddaughter, that's my grandson. That part of this earth, I'm ridding sin out of it by the power of God. You've given me the token of the Holy Ghost, and Lord, now I'm applying it. Father, you're applying it to your house today. Say, Lord, I apply it to my whole house. And any sign of sin, may this token come and drive it from this place. You can't convert them, but you've got to be the one to bring the presence of God there. You're His agent, brother, sister, especially fathers. You're the agent to the home. Stay faithful. Don't let kids in. That includes, it's hard. Your emotions get in there and you say, well, Lord, I just need to know. If it's unbelief, cast it aside. Say, son, I love you. Daughter, I love you. But that's not the word. We can't be doing that. We got to stay on what's true. I care more about your soul than I do your feelings. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Any housewife say the same. Lord, you've given me time. You give me a place. You give me a witness that I can be a prayer warrior for the kingdom. Lord, make me like that sister that held that revival. I might not be able to hold a revival in itself, but I can pray for those going. But I can be there behind the scenes, be behind the man of God and pray through for him. Believe that with all your heart. And if you need any minister to pray for, please pray for me. We're all feeling the effects of this world, brother, sister. It's got to come to an end sooner. How in the world are any righteous going to be saved? Hallelujah. With every head bowed, look, respect the presence of God if you ever did. Is there any person here who doesn't know the Lord? Who say, I want to know Him. I want to know Him myself. I've known a theology. I've known a message. I've seen Him in others. And in my head, I know I believe it. But Lord, I want to meet you in such a place that it doesn't matter what happens. It's just like Moses in that burning bush. You can't talk me out of it. I was there. I seen him. I talked to him and he talked back to me. Is there anyone say, Lord, it's me. I want to know you. Oh, God bless you. There's saints in this room. God bless you, saints. Hallelujah. Don't be wishy-washy now. Either be all in or all out. Lord Jesus. Father God, thank you, Lord, for your Spirit being here. And I pray, Lord, that every place this word is gone, may these hearts be tilled up by the prayers of the saints, that the seed wouldn't fall by the wayside. That, Lord, it wouldn't fall on stony ground. It wouldn't fall among thorns. But, Lord, that it could fall among good ground. A good, sincere heart that's here this afternoon. And, Lord, we can only pray. We can only believe. You're the one who does the work. And I pray that every heart here, if they haven't received the Holy Ghost, may today be the day where they receive the true baptism of the Holy Ghost in their souls, to where Satan could never talk them out of the gospel ever again. For the Christian soldiers, Lord, that might be weary, might be battle-struck, I pray that today you just encourage them once again. May you give them unction of the Holy Spirit to rise up and to still claim the victory, to still have the vision that soon we're going to go home to be with the King, and this is no time to lay the sword down. Grant to each one that's here, Lord, I present every heart here as a trophy to the kingdom of God. As Satan, you've lost the battle here. You've taken over nations. You've sent many souls to hell. But we have a word given here by the Spirit of God that we've got predestinated ones you can't touch. They've been redeemed back to God. I claim it in the name above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the blessed name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Go ahead, sister. Anyone else needs prayer today? The presence of God is here to shine on you now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, just believe with all your heart. Thank you, Lord. Give him worship to his name. Let your faith rise to where Satan don't know what to do with you. Reverence the presence of the Lord this afternoon. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anyone else? Say, Father, I have a need, and I believe today I'll receive it. Hallelujah. If you don't have a need, pray with these that do. Thank you, Jesus. May there be no schism anywhere in the body, brother, sister. May we all have one drive and one purpose here today. And that's to rid sin out of here and all of its effects. All of its depression, all of its confusion, all of its fear and hatred and anxiety and pain. Drive it from this place by the presence of God. Believe it with all your hearts. I believe we're going to see the glory of God amongst each one of these today. I feel His presence here, brother, sister. When you feel the presence of God, it makes a man bold as a lion. Because it puts him back in his rightful position. Hallelujah. Believe it with all your heart. The Holy Spirit moves on you. I think some of you question that. He's here. I'm telling you that. If He's talking to me, He's talking to you. Do what He tells you to do before you miss the opportunity to either be blessed or to be a blessing. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We wait until He speaks, but once He speaks, you do it right now. Don't wait around. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I believe with all my heart.
Grace always shines back on us. We thank you so much, Lord, for taking care of us every step of life's journey. I pray once more for my sister and continue to give this body strength for the kingdom of God, that you can use this life to speak to her children, to speak to those that would come by her way, her grandchildren, great-grandchildren, Lord, each one. May you be the one that's there reflecting the life out of her, Lord. And may this be a testimony of the power of God. Once again, Lord, may this body come back with a good report, as you've done every time. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give Him praise, children. Thank you. All His grace.
we pray.
Light out.
Receive grace.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Why do we know? It was the blood. Yes, Lord. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. We got to sing that. Give Him praise. And I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. Oh,
can feel the same things in there. And I believe you let that happen. They can have the marks of those. Let faith come on the scene. Let the strength of this man, Lord, bring glory out of this situation, Lord. Bring eternal praises to your life. Ransom, Lord, may still be a witness, still be alive, still be firm in the word, no matter what happens. May always be that rock in his family. Gratitude and praise, we pray together in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
How many appreciates the Lord today?
Yes.
Thank the Lord Jesus. I thank him for his service. I feel a lot. I feel good. Amen. I feel good in the spirit of the Lord. I'm glad he had his way in every heart's desire. Believe with all your heart what you asked of him. Amen. Don't never let the devil ever take it from you. That's right. I believe we've heard from God. Let the water now of his word always water it to where it comes to fruition. Say, Lord, you've planted it today. You'll water it every day. Lord, let me stay the course. Amen. Don't go back there and dig it up and kill the thing that God did with my unbelief. Let me just stay the course. Water it with my praise. Water it with my thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Feel free to do that right here in the house of God. That's all right. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I think we're going out to eat today. Or I'd normally announce something now, but we did quite a bit of that yesterday, didn't we, brother, sister? That was at the fellowship. We had a good time. But I don't know, I like this fellowship a little bit more.
Amen.
There's something about the house of God. It's good to have you with us, Patrick, and hope you enjoyed yourself, each one that was here. So God bless you. I'm trying to think of I just can't seem to get nowhere anymore. You got a song, Dad? What song you got? You don't know
I love you.